Tonight, I preached the subject that's in the bulletin for this morning, What Made Satan, Satan. And before I get to that part of my message, I'll just mention to you that I think every single one of us here tonight ought to just hate Satan. I mean, as much as you love God, and I know you love God, we ought to hate the devil, we ought to hate Lucifer, we ought to hate old snooty face, whatever you want to call him, we ought to just hate him. With a deep hatred. It's not part of my message tonight, but I'll sort of use it as my introduction. I think there's three reasons that we ought to hate him. Number one, he got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden. I mean, I think if Satan hadn't come on the scene, if Eve hadn't been tempted, we might still be living in the Garden of Eden tonight. But he came, you know the story. He came and said, Eve, didn't God say you could eat of every tree in the Garden of Eden? And she said, well, we can eat of all of them except for this one in the center of the garden. And she sort of got a little confused. She added to the word of God. She said, God said, don't look at it. And he said, don't eat it. He said, just stay away from it or you're going to die. Now, he didn't say don't look at it. He didn't say stay away from it. He just said don't eat it. And here's what Satan said. He said, oh, God didn't really mean that. You see, Satan had changed. Today, he's still casting doubt on the Word of God. He's trying to still get people to add to the Word of God or change the Word of God. That's why I stick with this Bible, because I don't have time to study and read the new ones that come out, and I'm afraid somebody's going to change something and I won't notice it. And I don't want that. I'm just going to stick with this one that's been proven to me, the one I was saved by, the one that I preach from all these years, the one I've read all these years. I'm just going to stick with this old King James Bible because there's still people in the world that are trying to change it. And Satan came to Eve and said, oh, God didn't really mean that. I mean, he just knows that if you eat that fruit, you're going to be as smart as him. Your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. And you've read the story in Genesis just like I. The Bible says that Eve looked at the fruit. It was pleasant to the eyes. And so she took it and ate it and gave it to Adam. And he did eat. And because of that sin, because of that disobedience to God, they were dispelled or kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And the things that have resulted from that sin affect every one of our lives. The Bible says, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed on all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. And I believe with all my heart, we'd still be living in the Garden of Eden, in communion with God, if Satan hadn't come on the scene and tempted Eve. Second reason we ought to hate him is that he still does to us what he's done to others in the Bible. He accuses us before God. In fact, I'll just get ahead of myself. You go over in the book of Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 12. There was rejoicing when Satan was kicked out of heaven and had no more access to God. And it says the accuser of the brethren could no longer stand before God. And just like he did to God for Job, for example, remember Satan was in heaven, he came before the throne of God, and God asked him, have you considered my servant Job an upright man, one that hates evil? And Satan said, well, yeah, he was only that way because you put a hedge of protection around him. Go ahead and knock that hedge of protection, knock it down, and let me have him for a little while, and I'll get him to curse you. And God said, Go ahead. You can do anything you want. Just don't touch his body. You know the story. Satan took away all his animals, all his wealth. He took away his 10 children. And in all of that, Job stayed faithful to God. And Satan was up visiting God again. And God asked him the same question. Have you considered my servant Job? There's not a more upright man on earth. One that fears me and hates evil. And even all the things that you've taken away from him, he has still stayed true to me. And Satan said, well, yeah. You didn't let me touch his body. Let me make him sick. Let me touch his body. Let me do something to him. Then he'll curse you. God said, okay, don't go ahead. You got him, but don't take his life. And again, you know the story. Satan gave Job those boils on his body that caused him to go to the junkyard where the fires constantly burned. And he got some relief from that heat. He took broken pieces of pottery and scraped his sores and got some relief from that. But the Bible says in all of that, And all of the testing that God allowed to come into his life, and all the things that that Satan brought on Job, Job still retained his integrity. He still blessed God and thanked God for the blessings that he had. He did not turn against God. And the same thing that Satan did to Job, he does to us. He's up in heaven tonight before the throne of God, accusing us before our master. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad our advocate is sitting on the other hand, on the right hand of God. And when Satan tries to tell God some lie or even the truth at times, our advocate sits at the right hand of God and says, yeah, he may have sinned, but that's under the blood. I paid for that when I died on Calvary as well. But Satan's a liar. And he'll tell God things that aren't true. He'll say, hey, God, you see what Nick did yesterday? I knew he would do it. I knew he couldn't hold. I'm just using him as an example. I don't know anything, by the way, that Nick did yesterday. I didn't see him yesterday. But that's what Satan does. He'll go to God. He'll say, huh, you see what Nick did? Oh, yeah, some Christian. What kind of Christian is he? And that's what he does to every single one of us. That's why it's going to be so wonderful when the accuser is cast out from heaven, can no longer approach the throne of God, can no longer accuse us before him. There's going to be great rejoicing, and we ought to hate him because he accuses us before our God. We ought to hate him, but because of him there is a hell. Hell was not created for man, it was created for Satan and the angels he's led in revolt against God. There was heaven, where there was no night, no pain, streets of gold. And yet God had to make hell after Satan rebelled against him. That place that's just the very opposite of heaven. The place where there's no light. The place where there is pain. The place where there is no firm foundation. The bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. The fire goeth not out. That was not made for man. It was made for Satan. It was made for those angels that rebelled against him. And every single one of us, for those three reasons, ought to despise Satan. We ought to hate him. We ought to just utterly abhor him, because I'll just tell you what, every hurt that has come into our life, if you trace it back far enough, you can blame Satan on it. Every hurt. I know God allows some things to come in our life as he tests us to make us stronger, but every hurt, every pain, every separation from people that we love, every worry, every anxiety that we have in this world, you can go back and trace it to Satan. You can trace it to the devil. The Bible says in James, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and every bad and imperfect gift cometh ultimately from that one called Satan, from that archangel that was cast out of heaven. And every single one of us, as much as we love God, ought to hate him. Ought to hate him. Now, here's my question, the question of the hour, the question for tonight. How did Satan become Satan? What did he do that turned an archangel created by God into the devil? Was it because he tempted Eve? No. He was a devil before that. Before he tempted Eve, he was Satan. Was it because he accuses us night and day before God? No. You go back and you put the Bible books in the order that they were written. A lot of people think that the book of Job was written somewhere after the flood. And Job was one of the earliest men that lived. But Satan was Satan before that. Was it because of hell that Satan became Satan? No. He was Satan way before that. What made Satan Satan? And the answer, we read a moment ago in Isaiah chapter 14. You see, God did not create Satan as Satan. Satan was created as one of the three archangels. There was Michael, there was Gabriel, and there was Lucifer. Those three. Three of the archangels. They were beautiful beings. I mean, when we get to heaven and we get to see them, we're going to recognize how beautiful not only the angels are, but the archangels are as well. Every one of those archangels was created for a purpose. We know that, for example, one of the archangels delivered messages, special messages that God wanted to deliver. We know another one was a warrior. A lot of people think that Lucifer was the archangel of music. and beauty. I don't know. But I know this, they were all made for a reason. God, just like before he made us, he had a purpose for us. Before he made the archangels, he had a purpose for each one of them. And that archangel named Lucifer became Satan, became the devil, when he did what we read about in Isaiah, where it says, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That word, the Most High, is a Hebrew word, El Elyon. It means the highest of the high. It means the strongest of the strong. It means the one who had no equal. And this archangel became Lucifer. This archangel, Lucifer, the archangel, became the devil, became Satan, when he said, "I will exalt myself, I will be God." That's when he became the devil. When he forgot the purpose that for which he was created, which was a wonderful purpose, by the way. When he forgot that purpose for which he was created and said, "No, I don't want to be what God made me for. I want to be God himself. I want to set my throne above God. I want to be the highest of the high, the strongest of the strong, the one who had no equal." He was saying, "It's not good enough what you wanted me to be. What you want me to be is not what I want. I want to be like you. I want to be like God. I want to decide what I will do. I want to decide what I will be. I want to decide where I will go. I want to decide what I'll do when I get there." That's what Lucifer was saying. That's what made him the devil. When he got the case of the, instead of obeying God, when he got a case of the I wills and said, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." When this archangel left the will of God for his life, he became the devil. He became Satan. Now, let me ask you a question. If that's what Satan did to make him Satan, what does it mean when we do the same thing? Huh? If the sin that made Satan, Satan, was that sin of disobeying the will of God, and disobeying and not becoming what God wanted him to become, what does it say about us when we do the same thing? You see, tonight, it is God's will that every person that's here be saved. Mentioned it this morning, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why the invitations in the Bible over and over and over again use the word whosoever. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You can't read very many pages of this Bible without realizing that God loves every single one of us. He loves every single person, and he wants every single person to go to heaven. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You say, "Well, I think God wants me to go to hell. I think I'm one of those that were predestined to go to hell." No, 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 no. God does not predestinate anybody to go to hell. He knows who's going to reject Christ and end up in hell, but he deals to every man a measure of faith, and every single person has the same opportunity to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I mean, every single person. He does not leave one out. And you cannot read the pages of this book without realizing that that's the kind of God that we have. He wants everybody to be saved. And he wants you to be saved now. He wants you, if you're not saved tonight, he wants you to be saved before you leave this place. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. He doesn't want you to put it off. He doesn't want you to think about it. He wants you to decide for Christ. He wants you to realize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and Jesus is the only way. In fact, He not only tells us that He wants us to be saved, He not only tells us when He wants us to be saved, He tells us how we're to be saved. There's only one, Adam's saying about it, there's only one way to be saved. Man can make up all the ideas they want. There's only one way to heaven. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Dennis included in his prayer this morning, John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we can devise, man can devise all sorts of schemes to try to figure out how to get to heaven. But what does it say about us as mankind when we set aside God's will for our life and the way that He's made for us to get to heaven, and we say, I'll come up with a better way. I'll come up with a different way. I'll come up... Thought I heard we had a rat over here on the side. Thought I heard something nibbling over there. If I see one, I'm leaving. Somebody get it. But what does it say about us? When God tells us that He wants us to be saved, and He tells us when He wants us to be saved, and He tells us how we're to be saved, and we say, well, I'll decide if I get saved or not. I'll decide when I get saved, and I'll decide how I get saved. I submit to you tonight, we're doing the same thing that Satan did. We're saying, I will, I will, I will. God says, do this, do it right now, do it this way. And we say, no, I'll do it when I want to, and I'll do it my way. And this, we read it, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And I'll just tell you tonight, you saying I will and trying to do it your way when it comes to the matter of salvation, you will end up in the same place that Satan will, in hell, forever and ever and ever and ever. You can turn your back on God. You can think you have a better idea. You can think that you can come up with something that's more appealing to you. But it will end in your destruction. It will end in you spending eternity apart from God. Now, His will is that everybody be saved. You're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from God. Jesus paid your penalty. When He went to the cross, God put on Him every one of our sins, and He died in our place. He paid the debt that we owe. And all He says to do is to come and receive it. Aren't you glad He made it so simple? Aren't you glad that He made it so simple that Brian can preach it back in the fellowship hall the same way I can preach it here, and the little kids can understand it just like you do? I'm so glad He made it so simple. If He made it hard to understand, I would have missed it. Some of you would too. I'm so glad He made it so simple. And He tells us over and over and over and over again in His Word that we need Jesus as our Savior. And what does it say about us when we ignore God and when we turn our back on God and we say the same thing that Lucifer did? I will, I will, I will. And then it's God's will for every person after they're saved to do the work for which they were created. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let me just remind you of a very simple truth. Every single one of us was created to be part of God's family. Every single one of us. We were created to be saved, and we were created for a work. You've heard me say it many times. God did not say, oh, Martha's born. I got to figure out something for Martha to do. He did not say, Oh, Donna's been born. I got to figure out something for Donna to do. That's not the way God works. God knew about every single one of us before we were born. He had a job for, as a Christian, he has a job for us to do. You see, that's why his desire that everybody be saved. Because every single person was created to work a work, to do something for God. And so he had something he needed done. He said, I'm going to make somebody like Martha to do it. He had something else he needed to be done. He said, I'm going to make somebody like Donna to do it. And that's why we were created, to be part of God's family and to do the work that he made us to do. And I would submit to you tonight that every single person in this room, regardless of your age, regardless of your station in life, regardless of the experiences that you've had in your life, God has a perfect will for your life right now. Every single one of us. Every single person. If he didn't have anything else for you to do, he would take you to heaven. He would. He'd take you to heaven. He'd get you out of this mess. He'd take you to heaven. But the fact that you're still here means that he has something that he wants you to accomplish. From little Aaron to the, and I don't, since Harold's not here, I don't know who to say the oldest one here. So, but from little Aaron back there to the oldest person here, whoever that is, and everybody in between, he has a will for our lives. Now, what does it say about us when we do the same thing that Lucifer did? Lucifer was created for a purpose. God made him as an archangel for a work. And Lucifer said, I don't care. I don't care what God made me for. I don't care what what he wants me to do. I'll do what I want to do. I will do what I want to do. What does it say about us when we say, I don't care about God's plan for my life. I don't care about his will for my life. I don't care about his purpose for my life. I will decide what I want to do. I'll make that decision. I'll decide what God's will for my life is. And here, I'll just tell you what I believe. And I know some of you think this is old-fashioned, idealistic, but that's what kind of preacher you got. I think for every one of these little boys and girls and the teenagers that are here and the young adults that are here that are not married yet, I think God has somebody already prepared or is preparing to be your husband or be your wife. Hey, preacher, you're crazy. I said, well, you can think I'm crazy if you want. I believe that. I believe for Hannah, sitting next to her Mimi back there, that God already has somebody picked out. Hannah's 9 years old. 9 years old. There is a 9 or a 10 or 11-year-old boy somewhere, I don't know where, that God is preparing him to be Hannah's husband. And maybe when she's 40 years old, her dad will let her consider marrying him. No, I'm just teasing. But here's my point. If God, listen, if God had Hannah be born, and God had this little boy that we don't know be born, and it's his will for them to be married, and he prepares them from the time they're born until the time they're going to get married, what audacity we have to say, I know better than God. What audacity do we have when we say, well, I'll decide who I want to marry. I'll decide, at the time. And we miss the blessings of God that he has prepared for us by not seeking his will and saying, God, you show me the one, and that'll be the one that I'll marry. And the same thing is true in every area of our life. I mean, I believe for every one of these young men and these young ladies, God has a profession picked out. He has something that they want them to give their life to make their living from as they live in this earth. And I believe you little ones and the teenagers that are here and the young adults that are here that haven't made that decision yet, you need to seek the will of God. You need to ask God what he wants you to do. And find that will for your life and say, that's what I want. I don't want what I want. I want what God wants. I want, because, you know, we sing the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, and again, I don't mean to be harsh, but I think one of the reasons that we see so much divorce in this world today is that people have ignored the will of God, and they have married people that they had no right marrying because it was outside the will of God. Now, let me just say, if you're in a marriage tonight and you're having a tough time, I'll just tell you, it is God's will that you figure out how to make it work. It's not God's will. He said, well, I missed the one that he wanted for me, so I'm going to leave the one I got and go get the one he wants for me. I worked with a lady who had been married 6 times. Said she was a Christian. Every time she changed husbands, that's what she said. Oh, this is not God's will for my life. This other guy. I said, no. And we ended up, she hardly ever talked to me because every time she came to me and says, I found the right one, I said, the one you're married to is the one that's the right one right now. And she quit talking to me. So I'll just say to all the little children that are here, to the teenagers that are here, God's got a will for your life. He's got somebody that he's preparing for you to marry. He's got a job that he wants you to do. He's got a purpose that he wants you to fill. And what's true for them is true for all of us. Again, doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter what our station in life is. God's got a purpose for our life. And if we're not careful, we will commit the same sin that Lucifer did, that got him cast out of heaven, cast into hell, and that made him the devil. When we say, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, instead of saying, God's will, God's will, God's will, God's will, we are committing the oldest sin that was ever committed. We are rebelling against our God. And tonight I just say, don't do it. Don't do it. You find what God's will for your life is right now, and you just do it. Just do it. Just make up your mind. God, show me your will. And I truly believe this. If you commit to do his will, it won't be long before you find it. Because that's the way he works. That's the way he works. What made Satan Satan? When he said, I will, instead of God's will. And if we're not careful, we'll commit the same sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for this time we've spent in your word. I pray that all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we would realize tonight that what you have planned for our life is the best. And as we step away from that, as we step aside from that, we're stepping down. We're stepping down. And I pray tonight, Father, I pray for the youngest to the oldest, that we would decide, not my will, but thy will be done. Same mind that Jesus had as he walked the face of this earth. I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. And I pray, Father, that we'd order our life the same way. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight they would see themselves as a sinner and they'd see the penalty that that sin leads to. And tonight they would decide to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray that for every single person here that's never asked Christ to be their Savior. Father, bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our lives what only you can do. And we'll be sure to give Jesus all the praise and all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.